Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Ella. Special guest J.J. Darby, the State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Here's your host, live from Shark Facets Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are over here at Shark Facets Gallery, and we have the man that knows. That's right. We have the man that knows. We are the man that has his pulse on small businesses across not only South Carolina, but across all 50 states. And, of course, what better time to have somebody here as they get ready to vote on whether it's Boehner's plan, cut cap and balance, or let's fight it out and not have a plan at all. You know, they got to come up with something up there in Washington, D.C. J.J., how are you doing? J.J. Darby, how are you doing today?
Great, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you here. You know, the job, you're actually, would you consider yourself a lobbyist?
I am. By trade, yes. I do, in fact, represent NFIB and a number of other interests as a lobbyist at the State House, but have the pleasure of being the State Director for NFIB here in South Carolina as well, and work with roughly 5,000 small business owners here in South Carolina on a day-to-day basis also.
Is it depressing?
No, it's not. It's a great opportunity and a great job. I really enjoy it. I like working with our legislature, and really enjoy the opportunities I have to meet with small business owners and talk to them about what they want and they need out of Washington and out of Columbia.
Sure, and of course, this is a very difficult time, though, isn't it? It's when you look at all the media. You know, one of the things that bothers me, JJ, we've known that we were going to hit this for a long time. Why is it? Can you give us the answer? Why is it that it's always a last-minute thing?
Oh, I think there are a lot of people a whole lot smarter than I am who probably have a better feel for why we are where we are before the Tuesday deadline kind of thing.
Now it's not really a Tuesday deadline. You know,
right.
We can do some more. What was it? Fancy footwork?
Fancy footwork, I think, is the quote. Yeah,
yeah.
Fancy footwork's the quote. I mean, this is an issue that folks have been talking about for quite some time, and crisis sometimes breeds activity in Washington. So
is it called crisis management?
Yes. In this case, well, let's hope they manage it.
Absolutely, and let's hope that they can manage it to a positive. I remember when I was up there in January, and I was interviewing all our new freshmen and everything, and I'd talk about, well, you know, you've got the debt, raising the debt ceiling and the CR, and every one of them told me, No, we're dealing with the CR first.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll
mm-hmm.
deal with the debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
guess what?
Now we're dealing with the debt ceiling.
Yeah, it seems like we could have had a little better management of our funds, but I guess powers that are up there are going to work it and try to figure out a solution.
I think there are going to be some folks who are going to be burning the midnight oil through the weekend, I would expect, in the next few days at least.
Sure. And, of course, as Congress is supposed to vote today on John Boehner's plan, is that
That's
correct?
Right. Yes.
The
yes.
updated plan.
The updated version, yes, that he went back to in order to go ahead and get the CBO estimate up to, I think, the trillion number that he was looking for, or that target.
Sure. So we'll see how that works out. Of course, tomorrow morning on the Isle of Ann show, we will be talking to Congressman Trey Gowdy, and I'll be interested to hear about how that all came together as we move forward here.
I'm sure Trey will have some insight. Trey's a good representative from South Carolina. So.
He absolutely is. But, you know, we want to talk about some of the things going on in South Carolina. There's been some good things that NFIB has been able to help work through. You know, a couple or maybe it was a week or so ago, I was listening to a town hall meeting with Governor Nikki Haley NFIB had.
We did a what we call a teletown hall with Governor Haley. She was nice enough to give us an hour to talk to our members, and we hope to do that again with her real soon. She came on and talked to small business owners and their employees about what she thought was going on in Columbia and what happened during the legislative session, and discussed a little bit about what she'd like to see happen in the next session or the next part of this 2-year session as well.
Sure. So that is a good way to keep informed. Now, just for the record, if somebody's listening to this and after they've finished listening to you talk to us and everything, and they want to become a member of NFIB, how do they go about doing that?
Great, thanks. Yes, NFIB. The simplest thing to do would be to go to the website, NFIB.com. Very simple. NFIB.com. There's information about member, how to join, as well as member benefits and other things that we provide to members both here in South Carolina and across the country.
Absolutely. So just check out NFIB. GovernorHaley.com. You'll be able to find out all the information. There are a lot of advantages to being a member of this. One of the biggest ones, though, I think, is the fact that you do surveys just about every week, and you're looking for input from your members.
Absolutely. That's one of the things I believe that makes NFIB unique in the universe of business associations. We really do work from the bottom up in terms of developing the agenda, both at the federal level and the state level. You know, NFIB has organizations in all 50 states, as well as a very active office in Washington that lobbies Congress. Here in South Carolina, we put out a ballot every year to all of our business members, asking them what they think is important and what they'd like for us to work on in Columbia. A similar ballot is put out, what we call a federal ballot, is put out to the business members as well across the country, asking them what they'd like NFIB to focus on in Washington. And we use those to help develop our agendas, and those are the things that we proactively or defensively, depending on the ballot, work on in those coming sessions.
Wow. So what do business people want you to work on?
Well, you know, my board chairman from Charleston actually puts it best. If we can do what we can, both in Columbia and Washington, to allow businesses to continue to grow, allow them to continue to grow jobs, and stay out of their way when you do that, you've done a good day's work.
You've done a good day's work. Do you think we're ever going to get the government out of our out of the regulations? And you know, the every time you look at a form, you got to fill out. You know, it used to be maybe this would take you 5 hours a quarter. Now it's up to 15 or 20 hours. It just keeps expanding.
We do. I own a small business myself. I usually, you know, Monday through Friday, and sometimes Saturday and Sunday is when I'm doing my regular job, and then at night is when I'm doing my paperwork. And I think that's probably consistent with a lot of the business owners that I meet and see across South Carolina. We do work with our legislature here in South Carolina to reduce red tape wherever we can. We've spoken to agencies like LLR and some of the others here in South Carolina about ways to reduce and build some efficiencies into the system to make it easier for the owners. And that's one of the things that we continue to work on every year.
What do you think was one of the really hot issues for this year in the South Carolina government this year?
Sure. I mean, clearly one of the biggest issues that from a business community standpoint that we worked on was unemployment insurance. You know, that was something that affected every business's pocketbook in one form or fashion. NFIB was a very important part of the coalition of folks who worked in order to go ahead and reform the Employment Security Commission last year. We had put together with leadership a tax structure that would allow for us to go ahead and be more responsive to the ups and the downs in the economy and in the employment figures. But there was a large price tag attached to that, and a lot of business owners had very large rate increases as a result of that. So we worked with the legislature and a lot of the members of the business community this year to help provide some relief for some of those rates, but still allow us to go ahead and go forward and maintain solvency in that system so that folks who deserve benefits could keep getting them.
Sure, and of course, one of the problems is that you know, we need more taxpayers. We need more businesses too. We need people hiring people, and in this economy, it's tough.
You're right, Ann. One of the things that NFIB does, as you said, in addition to serving our members, is we do every month what we call our Optimism Index. And for those of you that aren't familiar with it,
is there any optimism out there? I gotta know.
Well, they call it the Optimism Index. It doesn't indicate a lot of optimism right now.
Is it the Depression Index?
Well, our data indicates across the country that, and including those surveyed in South Carolina, indicates that small business owners are not optimistic right now, that we are going into what legitimately should be the very beginning of the third year of the recovery at the end of the summer, and the recovery is essentially jobless. It's essentially no increase in sales, or at least that's what the data indicates. And so our small business owners are really struggling right now, and a lot of that has to do with uncertainty coming out of Washington and quite frankly, with concerns about budgetary things and others in Columbia. So there's a fair amount of pressure on the small business owner, both from D.C., and they perceive some coming from the State House, too.
You know, it seems very unrealistic on, well, let's use Washington as a subject here, because without small businesses, without businesses making turning the wheels and getting everything pumped back up, where are the jobs going to come from? Where are the taxpayers going to come from? Unless we all become government employees. And Peggy, my partner on the I Love Ann show, she'd like a government job.
Sure, sure. Sure. Well, you know, interestingly enough, I read some data about some of the job figures that came out, and there was a period of time where public sector jobs were basically what was driving any change in employment figures, meaning they were outpacing private sector increases.
Sure.
That's not really the case right now, because most state and local and federal government they've had to cut back as well. So
sure.
You see that there also. The jobless figures in South Carolina have remained, you know, have hovered around the 9 to 10 plus area for quite some time now. I think we're doing what we can in Columbia as a business community together to do what they can to promote regulations and policies that would help and spur job growth, you know, passing certain things like fixing the unemployment insurance issue, tort reform, spending limits, some other things that are coming down the pike, are things that are going to help business owners feel more confident. But again, as you and I spoke about before the show, you've got pressures from Washington that, quite frankly, are in a lot of ways overshadowing a lot of what we do in Columbia, because that makes it very difficult for a business owner to say, well, I'm comfortable because of what's going on in D.C. too.
Absolutely. Listen, we've got a lot to talk about here. We're with J.J. Darby, the State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses here. If you'd like to give us a call, don't hesitate. The number is 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Give us a call right now. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
The classic never goes out of style. The classic can be worn every day. What classic am I speaking of today? Diamond earrings, of course. Classic studs. At Sharp Facets Gallery, our diamond earrings are the best, from quarter carats to over 4 carats in rounds, and of course, princess, pear, or emerald cuts. Best selection, best price, best quality. Buy a pair of diamond earrings today and watch your eyes light up. Sharp Facets Gallery, 72 Bypass Greenwood.
You're tuned in to Meet Me at the Diner, your host and Ella. Special guest J.J. Darby, State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Here's your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. We are talking with J.J. Darby. He is the State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, and it is a great organization. If you'd like to become a member, just go to nfib.com or go to their website and check it out. See the advantages if you dare to be in business today. What do you think the future? Now, I think that's a really good question. What do you think the future is for entrepreneurship, whether it be in the state of South Carolina or across the nation? Do you think people want to go into business?
I think if you talk to people as I do, I get an opportunity now to talk to a lot of business owners, and I do think there are a lot of business owners that I see that say the environment's very different than when they started their business if they've been in business 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
I would make an excellent employee for somebody, because I know what it's like, and I would love to be able to at the end of the day say, is there anything I can get you before I leave today?
There are a few business owners who feel that way right now.
Absolutely.
I will tell you, and it goes back to that optimism index. You know, we have small business owners who, quite frankly, say that this is probably some of the toughest times they've seen to be in business.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it very hard to be an entrepreneur.
Sure.
It makes it very hard to say, I want to hang a shingle and I want to grow jobs, because it's just a daunting task right now.
Sure.
And so
the workforce is different than it used to be.
It is.
Very
Absolutely
much different,
is.
Yes.
Absolutely is. And quite frankly, what you provide to your workforce in terms of training, you know, health benefits and things of that nature in order to have a viable workforce, a lot of that's changed based on regs, based on things coming out of D.C. and Columbia.
Sure.
It's a difficult time to be a business owner and try and grow jobs.
Okay. Did you tell me that people want it? I mean, to go back to my original question, did you say that people, do you think that people want to go and be independent business owners?
Well, I'll tell you, it's one of the reasons why I actually am very encouraged and really enjoy working with NFIB, because I meet business owners every day who really enjoy being in business. I mean, and that, is it hard work? Yes, but I don't think any of them didn't know that when they started. Is it harder than maybe some of them thought? Perhaps. But there's something. You see it when you talk to these business owners. There's something about the fact that they know that they're doing the work that's going to put food on their table and food on the table of their employees.
Sure. I just question whether our young people think that going into business is a good thing.
I do. You know, we have what we call Young Entrepreneurs Foundation with NFIB, and we try to sponsor and promote entrepreneurship.
Sure.
And we do see that in a number of folks. A lot of these work through high schools and some others, and we do see it. We do see it, believe it or not. And even in this environment, we still do see a lot of folks who say, "I want to go out and hang a shingle, and I want to, you know, become a contractor, or I want to, open a gas station." Or it's out there.
Is there anyone out there that you know of, JJ, that would like to own a jewelry store?
I'll take a look. I'll see if I can find somebody for you.
All right. Sounds great. Now, what are some of the other issues that you'd like to talk about as relating to South Carolina?
Sure. I mean, I think, and appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. One of the things I wanted to talk about was that I think this is a difficult time in the legislature in South Carolina, and our leadership's always been very supportive of small business, both in the House and in the Senate. We did have a few opportunities this year to pass some legislation that I think will be impactful. You and I just spoke a little bit about unemployment insurance reform, and the fact that while those rates have gone up in order to pay that federal debt off, we've made some systemic changes to that system that will solve or will allow for long-term solvency of that employee benefit program, and will also reduce payouts and benefits to those who, quite frankly, as we've determined over time, either didn't deserve them or got too much. And so we have actually taken a fairly large cost driver for businesses and done what we can to manage it. And that took the effort of a lot of folks in the leadership in the Senate and in the House, in particular Kenny Bingham, who's the majority leader in the House, was a big part of that. Greg Ryberg in the Senate was a big part of it, chairman of the LCI committee. The governor's office was very heavily involved, and it was a few years' effort. And
yeah.
I think we've made a good faith effort to go ahead and put that agency on the right path.
Well, that's good, because that was an agency that was way out of whack, way, way, way out of whack.
It absolutely was. We were bringing in on a week-by-week basis, as small business owners know, you pay a certain amount in, and it's considered part of a weekly draw that comes into that agency, or came into the Employment Security Commission at the time. We were bringing in far less than we were paying out in benefits, and part of that is reflected in our unemployment numbers. But what we also determined is we were also paying benefits out to a lot of folks who, quite frankly, with all due respect to those people, either deserved to be given less or less weeks, or didn't deserve to have them at all. And so we with leadership's help, were able, and in no small part thanks to their efforts, were able to go and take a look at that system and determine, let's clean the system up. And it took a couple of years.
Absolutely. So that's one good thing. Now, another good thing that happened out there this year is, of course, the tort reform. That is something that is just has been out of control.
Absolutely. You know, the business community, a lot of the members of the business community are part of a coalition that puts forth an effort on a regular basis to pass lawsuit reform initiatives in the legislature. The Civil Justice Coalition, as it's called, has a variety of different members. NFIB is a member, and a number of other groups and associations and individual businesses are members. We worked real hard. We passed a bill this year after about 4 years of work that will bring some predictability and stability to the judiciary. I mean, as a small business owner, we all, in particular, we recognize that a single lawsuit, whether it's a frivolous lawsuit or one with merit, but in particular a frivolous one, could run you out of business. And so it was very important to small business owners that we go ahead and quite frankly, take some of these things and clean them up in the legislature. The speaker, day before yesterday, the bill was signed. We had a ceremonial signing. The governor was there. Speaker Bobby Harrell was there. Larry Martin, who was the senator who helped, or one of the senators helped guide it through the Senate, was there. The speaker made the point that we were beginning to fall behind our neighboring states in terms of economic development initiatives because of some of the things that we hadn't done on the civil justice front. So passage of this bill means a lot for the businesses that are here, and passage of the bill means a lot for businesses that would look to come here.
Sure. And, of course, that's going to lead us into some questions about the NLRB. And, of course, some of the other issues that are facing our state, card check.
You know,
that goes right along with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We spent a fair amount of time on that this year in South Carolina. We were one of the few states that actually aggressively took a strong stance on that, thanks in no small part to some of the same leaders we were talking about just a second ago for tort reform.
And that has been, of course, card check has to do with the right to a private ballot.
Yes, the right to a secret ballot in what are called union representation elections, whether or not a shop or a group of employees decide to actually form a union and whether or not they're entitled to a secret ballot vote when they make that determination.
That's right. So that's because there's another, card with the ID issue for voting. So
voter
I wanted
ID
to make
is a separate issue.
Right.
Separate issue.
Absolutely. Well, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Hey, I do want to tell you before we hear South Carolina news that the price of gold, what's happening with that today? It had come back, had fallen back a little bit. What's it doing right now? I tell you what goes up does come down. And, you know, just as soon as Congress up there makes a decision, we're going to see what's going to happen. Do you think it'll stay up there or do you think it'll fall back? I don't know. I always say a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Right now, gold is up over $1,615. Silver is trading back at $39.83, so that is right at $40. Great time to come see us at Sharp Facets Gallery. Get the most. Don't forget about that flatware and all those type of things that are silver. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with J.J. Darby. It is time for South Carolina News. Don't you go away.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest today is J.J. Darby, State Director of National Federation of Independent Businesses. Here's your host, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, Ann Eller.
Yes, as far as independent businesses, I need to ask J.J. Darby. J.J., are they growing in numbers, independent businesses? That's a tough question,
Wait.
Folks. I'm putting him on the spot here.
You really are? No. Our data indicates that we actually have a fair number of businesses or new business openings that come to NFIB and want to be members, and there are, unfortunately, some businesses that are closing as a result of the economy, even still now.
Sure.
In what we would call the second, going on to the third year of the recovery.
Sure. People just, I think it's, I don't know what's going to be happening. I think when we started down this road back, I think it was 2008, everybody said, well, cooling off of the economy, this is okay, we can do this.
Right.
We've gone through 1 year, okay. Then normally a year and a half later, things start to pick up and you start to see that change. But, you know, a lot of people have hung on and they've invested everything that they've had to keep hanging on. And now they're at the position, where is it going?
Sure. It's the uncertainty. Even now going into what we would call the third year of the recovery that has not given us or small business owners the confidence that, and that's reflected in that optimism index you and I spoke about before.
I think you need to change it to the depression index. When the depression index dissipates, then you can call it the optimism.
Go back to optimism. Maybe we'll call it mild pessimism index for at least a little while.
Mild pessimism. There you go. All right. Well, other things that are going on. What's going to be coming up that you think are going to be important legislation that is going to affect small business?
Sure. A few things. One of the things that we worked on a fair amount this year, and you and I talked about a moment ago, was the card check issue and what we can do in order to provide protections to small business owners relative to union activity. One of the things that NFIB feels very strongly about is that there's a special relationship between a small business owner, in particular, and their employees. You know, as a rule, small businesses, and particularly those in South Carolina, we don't have HR departments. We don't have attorneys on council in an office in our building, that sort of thing.
Are they going to require that?
Well,
darn, that's going to be a problem.
I don't think that's a new reg. It hasn't been regged yet. I'll put it that way. Ann. But we do have a very unique. I mean, small business owners, in particular, have very unique relationships with their employees. They're parts of the family in a lot of cases.
Absolutely.
So to say that it's okay for union organizers to come in and paint a fairly rosy picture, perhaps an accurate picture, and then turn that into a place where union activity may be going on is a very difficult thing for a small business owner to even grasp. I hear every time we talk about union activity from small business owners who say, "Listen, if that's what's coming, then I don't know how I could stay in business. That I couldn't afford to. That I have taken the position, particularly in this recovery, to not pay myself." To not take paychecks myself in order to keep my employees fed,
right?
You know, or to keep their insurance. So you know, but if a union comes in and says employees deserve this, and this, and they just simply can't be afforded, then it's going to make it very hard for you, a small business to stay in business itself.
Sure.
So, for instance, when we passed card check this year, we were one of four states in this last election cycle that put up a ballot initiative and got it passed. We had 86% of the voters come forward and say that they were supportive of the effort. And then changed our constitution so that way when someone decides to actually ask the question in employees whether or not they want to form a union, the employees are entitled to and will be protected by our constitution and given the right to a secret ballot.
Sure.
In order to keep that intimidation tactic off the table for the union organizers.
Now, the NLRB coming
yes.
in here and saying that that it is possible that they shouldn't have brought
jobs to South Carolina.
Hello. When did this start happening?
You know, I don't think it's coincidental that it happened under this administration. What is so surprising about this, and I think to a person, every member in our congressional delegation, both Republican and Democrat, has said the same thing. You know, we in good faith, the state of South Carolina and all the leadership in South Carolina went to Boeing and said this is a great place to build, to grow mm-hmm. jobs, to build product. We have this wonderful port in Charleston. There's a lot of reasons why you should come here. Boeing made a decision to come here and put thousands of jobs on the table for South Carolinians. And then they decided, the NLRB decided in Washington that that's a decision for whatever reason that Boeing's not allowed to make.
Well, what I find interesting is after they've built the facility, after, you know, it would have been one thing if they'd had a question before it was built, maybe that you could have negotiated. But why after they've already invested all this money, and if it had been another company other than Boeing, could they even have afforded to fight?
Sure, exactly. You know, the thing that's not been lost on a lot of our leadership, and quite frankly those who think that the NLRB has really overstepped on this, is that Boeing's actually grown jobs in Seattle. You know, if Boeing was laying off people in Seattle, if Boeing was actually saying we're closing places in Seattle because South Carolina, then the NLRB may actually, our position is then the NLRB.
They might have had a case. Yeah, they might.
Might. And our right. leadership's been pretty strong on this. I mean, from Lindsey Graham and Jim DeMint and all the members of the congressional delegation, they've all taken the same position that this is a vast overreach of the NLRB. You know, I've heard of folks threatening to see what they can do about defunding them and maybe shrinking their ability to act in this manner.
Well, at a time when we need to figure out which agencies to do away with, all in favor of doing away with the NLRB, put your hands up.
there's a few in this room that are hands up.
Yeah, exactly. So, but what do you think, how long-term do you think this is going to be as far as a fight and being on the table?
The folks that I've spoken to about it, both in either the legislative offices or the congressional offices that I've spoken to about it and some of the attorney folks involved, this could be a long fight, and the resolution could take some time. That being said, I think Boeing's still making plans and moving forward in the meantime, which
sure,
is encouraging.
But with the problem, and I agree, I believe Boeing is now firmly invested, shall we say, in South Carolina, and thank goodness because it brought a lot of jobs. But for people standing on the sidelines wondering, should I try to add another business here or another business there, that has to make them sit back, and this is what the problem is with generating jobs in our country.
It is. You know, you and I had an opportunity to speak about this before the show, that Washington is putting out policies or laying out regulation or procedures that give small business owners or entrepreneurs, as you and I spoke about before, any sort of pause is absolutely the last thing we need right now when we're trying to grow jobs.
Yes. So that could be the problem. If it takes a couple of years, if you're a business like Boeing, maybe you can afford to fight this. But if you're a smaller business and maybe you want to grow in a different state or have that opportunity, you may think twice because are they going to come after you?
Sure, absolutely. And then you look at all the all the contractors and everybody that's going to be associated with something the size of a Boeing and all the small businesses that will have an opportunity to provide services and sales to something like a Boeing in Charleston. All those business owners are now chilled in some way by that activity. So it really has repercussions throughout the entire economy. And as I said before, small business owners are so susceptible to union activity in and of themselves if activity were to take place within their own shops, that it's a real concern.
You know, I would actually think that I wonder how the NLRB themselves is actually looking at this. Do they feel that it is worthwhile to keep fighting it? You know, if they've got an immediate, I'm out of here, you know, but are they going to keep fighting it?
Well, there wasn't any indication from the congressional hearing that took place in Charleston that the NLRB wasn't going to do anything but continue down this road. I would hope, based on pressure that they're hearing from both Republicans and Democrats, from my understanding in Congress, that this would not be a path that they would continue on. But there hasn't been any indications that anything's changed.
Well, All right. Well, we're here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're talking to J.J. Darby, who is the director of NFIB right here in South Carolina. When we come back, we've got more things to talk about. And, hey, if you've got a question, if there's something bugging you, go ahead and pick up that phone and give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Give us a call. Let us know. We've got more things, and I hope we're going to be able to get into maybe what's going to be coming up as we move forward here with NFIB and trying to get the economy cooking right here in South Carolina and across our nation. I'm Ann Eller. We'll be right back.
So right, you can't be wrong.
Lou Dobbs, Mr. Independent.
Wow. Ann Eller, I love your show, the I Love Ann Show, which airs from 8 to 10 a.m. each weekday on WLMA Radio in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Well, we have a good time. It's a real positive, upbeat show.
I love it.
Well, then, you will just have to keep listening to the I Love Ann Show weekdays on WLMA 1350 AM or WLMA.net.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Eller. Our special guest today is J.J. Darby, State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Here's your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Yes, if you've got gold, if you've got diamonds, if you've got sterling silver, if you've got coins made before 1964, we pay the most around, so come see us today. Don't be fooled. Come see us. Get those prices today. And, yes, we're talking about business. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about where we're going. And, of course, we just were talking about the NLRB and what effect it could have futuristically. And, of course, you know, one of the things that is bothersome, JJ, on a bigger level is I just heard the other day that General Electric is moving its X-ray division, which is out in the Midwest, to China.
Oh, I hadn't heard that, but okay.
You know, and there's at least 125 jobs that are going to China. Isn't it amazing how much other countries want our businesses?
Yes. Well, you know, we built some amazing product, and so I could see where that would be attractive to another country.
Yeah, but doesn't it bother you that the
jobs are going overseas?
Yeah, it bothers you from that end standpoint, but also General Electric CEO is right up there and trying to help generate jobs for our country, and that they're sending them overseas.
Yes, they're sending them overseas. You know, what you find is the environment in these states has become so difficult in a lot of ways, both in terms of what you have to do for your employees and in terms of what it costs here to produce product, that it becomes attractive to do that. And it's unfortunate that we have now created that environment here, both in terms of regulatory burden and tax burden.
Sure. And, of course, the taxing burden, and, of course, right now with the raising the debt ceiling and how we're going to reduce costs up there in Washington, D.C., and there's a lot of I'm going to say talk about redoing the tax code. What do you see next year as far as the involvement with NFIB?
Well, you know, we've always been strong advocates of comprehensive tax reform. You know, what we find is that the majority of business owners, small business owners, actually pay rates on the individual basis, on the individual income tax rates, as opposed to what you would call corporate income tax rate, because there are other sole proprietors or some structure that causes their taxes to basically pass through.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that Congress does in terms of income tax actually has a tremendous impact on the small businesses across the country and their ability to grow.
Sure.
So it's very difficult for us when we're looking at this debt discussion in Washington. We try to remind our leaders that are supportive of NFIB in Congress. Unfortunately, there are a number of those. That this really is a spending issue, not a revenue issue. That we've grown government just faster than we can afford to pay for it.
Sure.
Small business owners know that, because if you grow your business faster than you can afford to pay for it, you're not going to be in business very long.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we've taken the posture is let's look at what we're spending on. You know, let's look at it like a small business owner does. Let's look at what I'm spending my revenues on, and are they helping to generate additional revenue or keep my business going? And if they're not, then you don't do those things.
And the government is really a revenue taker, isn't it? It's not really a revenue generator.
No, the generating of revenue, as I referred to, unfortunately comes out of your wallet and mine.
Exactly. So, now, what are you looking at for next year?
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of this conversation just in these last few weeks about the debt ceiling in Washington has spurred some conversations with legislators about spending limits in South Carolina. It's one of the things that the leadership in the House has been very supportive of for a number of years, enacting some meaningful spending limits that basically say that state government can only grow at a certain pace. And that pace has to be very closely tied to whatever that revenue you and I were talking about a moment ago is, Ann,
mm-hmm.
And not more than that. And that we need to go ahead and do what we can to set aside appropriate amounts for rainy days so that we don't have crisis and budget shortfalls like we've dealt with in these last couple of years here in South Carolina. And we've always been advocates of that. I mean, we plan as business owners.
Sure.
So we would just ask that government do the same. And I think our House leadership has certainly been interested in doing it. And I know that Senate leadership's looking at it seriously, too. So it's one of the things we'll be looking at.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things about South Carolina, and I think it is 48 or 49 other states, is we're supposed to have a balanced budget.
We are.
That's right.
We are.
So that makes a difference, although I did find out after investigating a little more, it is balanced, but it's not balanced. I mean, it's kind of an interesting oxymoron, I guess you could say.
Government continues to grow at a fairly large clip, and what tie that with the fact that we've got 10%, you know, roughly 10% unemployment in South Carolina, and that we've got revenues for business owners, the inputs to government not growing at a clip that keeps up, and you end up coming with a system that's pretty out of balance, both
sure.
here in South Carolina and other places. Our leadership's tried these last couple of years to do what they can budget-wise, but I think we really need to take a much larger, serious look at what we do and what we spend money on and how we bring it in.
Absolutely. So are you looking then for reforming on the tax code itself here in South Carolina?
I believe leadership's going to take a look at that. I think the speaker has actually echoed that they're going to go ahead and take a look at. They put what was called the Tax Realignment Commission together a year or two ago that made some recommendations. It's my understanding that leadership's going to take a look at some of those recommendations as maybe a basis for some reforms. You know, every one of those reforms comes with its own special interest to folks who've been supportive of getting it in the code or getting whatever it is out of the code. So it'll be a difficult process. But we, NFIB, has been fortunate enough to have a seat at that table because, you know, small business makes up a majority of the employers in the state. You know, we are the ones who, by all statistics in a recent study, are the ones who are supposed to get us out of this doldrum. And if that's going to be the case, they need to help us do that.
If we've been charged for that, we haven't been doing a good job, have we?
Well, I'm not saying we've done it yet.
Right, exactly.
But we're sure trying.
Absolutely. It is something. You know, when you say unemployment 9 to 10%, but then when you look at all the people who are off the rolls,
exactly.
who are maybe working a couple of jobs to try to make it come together, it's really a lot higher
sure,
than that.
Sure, that chronically unemployed number and that underemployed number, the ones who are working in a place to generate income but not commensurate with their education or background, those numbers drag that number that much higher and make it that much harder. And when even just the thought that one in every 10 is unemployed is a terrible thought to start with. But then when you add those folks who are just off the rolls now and the folks who are not working where they ought to be working, it poses a serious problem.
Well, and of course, you know, South Carolina needs to bring more jobs into South Carolina. And what do you think the future as far as that goes, JJ?
Well, you know, that's part of why things like the tort reform and the card check stuff that we've done so far and worked with the legislature on, the leadership in the legislature gets that we have to do things in order to make the soil conditions fertile. And without those, you know, businesses that are in a position to expand aren't going to do it. So unless we do things to protect businesses, large and small, from frivolous suits or from union activity or from anything else, we're not going to grow jobs. So having the ability to work with our leadership to get some of those things out of the way to at least help promote growth are things that we ask our legislature to do, and they did some of that for us this year.
Now, what about Amazon? Where do we stand? Where does NFIB stand on Amazon as far as the tax issue, and doesn't that actually fall on the federal level as far as collecting sales tax?
Yeah, NFIB did not actually get involved in the debate on Amazon this year at the State House. You look at it from the standpoint of there are people who are going to be providers and consultants and contractors to a job like to a large business like Amazon, and that would be supportive. You also look at the folks that are retailers in the arena
mm-hmm.
that say that Amazon would have in fact maybe crowded them out. So based on the fact that there wasn't really a consensus from our membership as to what a policy position on Amazon would be, we actually didn't take an official position on it.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, what other issues? We have about 4 minutes left here. Is there another issue or two you'd like to address?
Well, I think we're, you know, aside from, you know, looking at comprehensive tax reform and spending limits in the next year or two, I do think there are some issues that are going to be coming down the pike that we need to be prepared for. I think we're going to have to talk about workers' comp at some point. That is one of those cost drivers for a small business owner that continues to be a problem. I do think we'll probably have some more issues in the area of lawsuit and tort reform that we're going to have to deal with. You know, a lot of our neighbors continue, as the speaker said at that press conference, continue to make changes to their judiciary to become more and more business friendly. And we need to start looking at some of those other issues as maybe reform packages in next year and the years following. And those are some of the things that NFIB is certainly going to be working on. I do know that the legislature is going to have to take a look seriously at the unfunded liability and public employee pensions. You know, what we do for our retirees and state and government retirees is something that we all respect and believe in. But how we service that, how we afford it, and who's going to be paying for it, we all know who those are. And so we have to look at how we do that in the future.
Well, a lot of that, and doesn't a lot of the pension funds and whatnot, has to do with how they're invested.
Yes.
To create money for the future to pay these.
Absolutely, and these are conversations and arguments that have taken place in political hotbeds recently, like Wisconsin and other places. I don't expect we'll have those kind of conversations here in South Carolina, but the dynamics are the same. We have a fairly large unfunded liability to provide the benefits to those folks that served at state and local government levels and have either since retired or are going to be retiring, and we need to honor that. But at the same time, we need to recognize that someone's paying for it. And so striking that balance is going to be a very difficult process. And small business owners and individuals are going to be the ones who are going to be asked to pay for that.
That's right. You know, and now as we get ready to finish this up, I'm going to put you on the hot fence here.
Great.
What do you think is going to happen with the debt ceiling here? You know, we've got our four freshmen here, plus Joe Wilson, Clyburn. What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, you know, as I was reading something this morning when I was leaving, it looks like the new Boehner plan is something that they're going to go and get out of the House and send to the Senate, or at least
Where
that was what
that
the article was.
Yeah.
At least that's what the article indicated, or what I read online was indicating this morning, and then that goes to the Senate. I don't think that, from what I read, that Harry Reid's Senate is going to support that. So some sort of amended or variation of that may end up going back to the House and put folks in a bind.
Absolutely. So, you know, we used to have D-Day. I call it D-Day, August 2nd. That's debt day.
Debt day. Absolutely.
You like that? Yeah, D-Day. Yeah. So we're all going to be watching it. JJ, it's been so nice for you to spend the time with us here today. Keep
Thanks,
us
Ann.
Up to date, and I hope you'll come back and see us.
I'd be happy to. Thanks again. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. We're here at Sharp Passes Gallery. Be here till 6 o'clock. Give us a call, 229-6613. If you've got a question, don't forget about our last call sale going on right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.